you for joining us today. We are have been blessed to have the part of the Greenier family here from Central Connecticut. They rarely miss a service. They try to be here each week. I don't know if you live anywhere closer than Connecticut. I, of course, wonder what your excuse is for not being here with us today. But no, they have come up to visit, and it's been a great, great, wonderful time having them with us. So that's really great. And we'd like to invite everyone to come up and visit us. We have a beautiful inn here, and we have turned it into a Bible camp. And so we will be open in July and August this year, all through the summer, for our Christian friends, brothers and sisters to come up and visit us, stay for a few days if you'd like. And, of course, Revival PEI is in the middle of the summer, starting in July 24th through August 2nd this year. 10 days of seeking the Lord for revival. And we will be joining each night in prayer to seek the Lord to pour out a spirit of revival and a spirit of repentance. And you are very not only welcome, but we'd love to have you come up and join us for that time of prayer. It will be time during the day for vacationing. It is a beautiful, beautiful island that we have here. And you'll have all day to go out and visit the beaches and all the different attractions around here. And in the morning, we will have fellowship together, breakfast and devotions together, which is a real blessed time out on the back porch. And then at night, we will have our meetings to seek the Lord in prayer for revival. So if you are still working on your summer plans, please include a trip up to here to Prince Edward Island. It is a lot closer than you think, and the bridge, you no longer have to take a ferry to get here, and the bridge makes it quite easy. And if you live anywhere in New England, if you want the quickest, most direct, and most economical way to get to Prince Edward Island, do not take the ferry across to Nova Scotia. It costs about four or five times as much, and it takes twice as long to get here. So if you are wanting an economical way, I mean, if you're doing it just for the vacation value, that's fine. And we have nothing against Nova Scotia, theoretically. If you want the most direct and the most economical way to come to Prince Edward Island, just drive straight up through Bangor, Maine, and across New Brunswick through St. John, New Brunswick, then through Sussex, Moncton, and to Prince Edward Island. And you'd be surprised how inexpensive it is, even with gas prices the way they've been. It's one good day's drive from any place in New England. So if you'd like to include us in your summer schedule, we would love to see you. We would love to have you come visit us, and I think it would be the vacation of a lifetime for you because of the beauty of God's handiwork, and also the just being saturated in the presence of God with brothers and sisters that love Him as you do. So, we look forward to seeing you along with the Greeniers in the near future. This week we'd like to build off of what we started last week, because we have a mission, and the Fellowship of the Unashamed and the Skies Ministry, our mission is that God would raise up a multitude of people and a group of people who are actually ready to meet Jesus when He comes, who are actually prepared to meet Him and are dressed, their robes are washed, their lamps are lit, and they are prepared for Him, so that when He comes, they will run toward Him instead of running away from Him. And let me tell you, the great vast majority of people will be running in fear from the coming of the Lord. But we want to help build up and prepare a group of people who are running toward the Lord, who cannot wait for His coming. And so the message today, I hope, will strengthen you as you strive to become part of that group that is ready to meet the Lord when He comes. So let us pray before we go any farther. Oh Lord God, You alone have the words of life. You alone have the words of life. Lord, no one has life except for you. And Lord, my words mean nothing and they will come to nothing whatsoever unless you empower them and unless you speak, Lord God. All that we do is vanity. And so we ask that you yourself would minister today. You know the needs of your people. You know the areas that they need to be strengthened in and the areas they need to be encouraged in. And I pray, O Lord God, that you would speak to each heart and that you would lift up and strengthen your body and that you yourself would prepare your bride for that day, the glorious coming of the bridegroom. We pray that you would find a bride without spot or wrinkle that is prepared for you. And so, Lord, please be exalted this day. Please be exalted in our lives. Please be glorified in this time that we have together. May the name of the Lord be lifted up and magnified in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and his disciples distributed it and then the people ate it and were satisfied. And so that's what our goal is today. We hope that Jesus himself will break the bread and that he will hand it to us and that we'll be faithful to distribute it and that you will eat from it and be satisfied. And there is much said in the name of the Lord today. There is a form of spiritual food, and there is a process of eating spiritual food these days. But it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. And it is it's the equivalent of spiritual junk food, because all of the nutrition has been stripped out of it, and all that remains is not satisfying. It just makes us sick. And God's people are languishing for a lack of nutrition. God's people are languishing. They are in a weakened condition because they are not getting the proper nutrients. And so, just as we have Tutti Frutti's for breakfast, and when we get to the office or we get to school, we find that our stomach is sick and we have a hard time concentrating on what we're doing because we've eaten something that does not nourish our body. So in the same way, so much of what we receive today in the name of the Lord has been stripped of all of its nutrients and is just spiritual junk food that leaves us unsatisfied and unstrengthened in a very weakened condition. And in contrast to that, we have the words of the Lord. We have the words of the Lord that bring life, that bring and promote strengthening and healing and building up. The words of Jesus stand in stark contrast to the reasonings of men. And the reasonings of men just lead to vanity. But the words of Jesus are life, and they bring all kinds of strength to us in our walk with him. And so, if we want to be nourished, all we have to do is seek out the Lord's words, and we find nourishment for our souls. And you'll find that Jesus' words are the most neglected of all words in the Christian church. It's a church about Christ, but Christ's words are somehow left out of Christ's church. And so, if you want to be shocked, if you want to be stimulated, if you want to have an amazing awakening, just go to the Gospels and read the Lord's own words yourself again. It could be a while since you read any of Jesus' words, and just likely you haven't heard them anyplace else, because you see, the words of the Lord are so contrary to the modern spirit today. They're so contrary to our to our modern philosophy. And so you will rarely find Jesus' words, because Jesus' words make us uncomfortable because they're so radical. That's what I love about the Lord. He is so radical. You know, back in the 60s, I was radical. And when I got saved, I was radical. And I love Jesus because he is really radical. And so we're not going to waste time on that which does not satisfy, but on words which will satisfy. So we're going to go over to Matthew chapter 10 today to read the Lord's own words. You know, God is doing a good work. He's doing a good work. And he's raising up people right now. And he's quickening people. And there is a general awakening, because God's sharp words are causing people to wake up out of the slumber of spiritual drowsiness, and they're becoming quickened to the importance of being ready to meet God. And that's why we are seeing hundreds of people, many hundreds of people who have come forward at our various concerts and outreaches, who have made this commitment to seek the Lord with all their heart. It's because God is doing a great awakening work. And I pray that you're among that group, and you probably are, or else you wouldn't be watching this. But as you have begun this great, the greatest of all journeys, and you're beginning to seek the Lord each day, and as you're beginning to focus on the words of life and spending time reading the word, you'll find something peculiar is happening to you. And that is, you're starting to encounter great opposition. You're encountering great opposition. All you're doing is maybe reading the Bible for a few minutes at night before you go to bed, and you're spending some time in prayer. In the privacy of your house, you're not doing anything outrageous or anything overt. You're just in the quietness of your home, honoring that commitment to seek the Lord. And the strangest, most unusual things are happening around you. And you're finding your spouse or your children or your parents rising up with this amazing antagonism towards you. Or you're encountering this great opposition and maliciousness at school or in the workplace. You're finding that people are going out of their way to make your life difficult. And your head is spinning because you're like not doing anything. It's not like you're going out and standing in the corridors and preaching the gospel. All you're doing is reading the word and seeking the Lord in the privacy of your house, and suddenly you're finding and encountering all these great difficulties. And so we turn over here to Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, which says, "You will be hated by all on account of my name. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. You'll be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." You don't hear many sermons on that, do you? You don't hear many sermons on these great strengthening words of the Lord. These are words which strengthen us in the midst of our difficulties. These are words that point us in the right direction and confirm us in the right direction, so that when we are encountering all this opposition for seeking the Lord, that we know from Jesus' words we're on the right track. I think about this woman in China back during the time of the Cultural Revolution in China back in the 60s. And you know, in this great purge, they were just purging all the Christians out of the land that they could find. And there was one poor woman who didn't do anything except she prayed and she read her Bible in her house all by herself at night when nobody could see her. But it drew such a malice from hell that she was found out and she was publicly humiliated and all of her goods were destroyed and she was made to stand for 3 days in a public place with a dunce hat on, humiliated because she was seeking the Lord in the privacy of her house. You see, that's how much the God of this world hates those who begin to stand for Jesus. And so as you have begun to make this great commitment, this awesome commitment to begin seeking the Lord again with all your might, and as God has stimulated into you a wakeful spirit and you're waking up to the things of God and you're beginning to walk after the Lord, you find that all this great opposition is coming against you. Well, this is a good sign. This is a barometer of your love and your relationship with God. This is a good thing, and that's why Jesus' words are so encouraging, because it shows us and reminds us we're on the right track. Instead of feeling bad about all these different things, and boy, I'm telling you, the people closest to you, they can really get to you, and they can make you question if you're doing the right thing, and they can make you feel horrible. And that's why Jesus' words are vitamins for our souls. That's why they're so strengthening to us, because it assures us that we are on the right track. Now, you can do all kinds of outwardly observant behavior. You can do all kinds of outward Christianity. You can go to church. You can lead a cell group. You can volunteer for all kinds of ministries. You can give to the food pantry. You can spend your entire life doing all of these God-related items and never once encounter the wrath of the devil. You see, that doesn't bother him. In fact, he loves to even give you more things to do that are related to God. Because it arouses in us this feeling that we're doing good and that we're with God and that we're walking with God. All the while, we may not even know God at all. Or we're just simply caught up in a bunch of distractions and outward behavior that looks Christian. And we're far from God inside. And so the devil does not ever worry about our outward observances. In fact, like I said, he's glad for us to be religious. And he never bothers people who are doing that. But for the one who begins to seek the face of the living God, for the one who begins to diligently seek the Lord, even just beginning to seek the Lord, all hell breaks loose and all opposition breaks out against that one. Because the God of this world cannot stand someone who is getting close to Jesus. The God of this world will make it comfortable for people who outwardly observe. He'll make it comfortable. He won't even give any kind of a ruffle until you begin to seek the Lord with all your heart. And you'll notice, as it says in the scripture, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And you'll notice it doesn't say all those who are living godly will be persecuted. It just says all those who desire to live close and walk with the Lord will be persecuted. And so you can encounter all the opposition for no other reason than you wish you were walking with God and you're wanting to and you're trying to and you're desiring to. It says all we have to do is desire to walk close to God. And that means that everybody who has stood up at our concerts and come forward, that means each one of you are experiencing opposition right now because you have made a commitment saying, I desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. And we're here today to encourage you with Jesus' words that you will be, and in fact, hated by all on account of his name. And this is a barometer saying, keep going. Keep going. You're doing the right thing. You're going in the right direction. Persist and pursue and overcome. He who overcomes will be saved. Let me read that verse again. You'll be hated by all on account of my name, but the one who has endured to the end, he will be saved. And so, we're here to encourage you today to press on, to press on, to press on with that commitment that you made, to press on. You came forward, you prayed before the Lord, and you said, Lord, I want to seek you earnestly, and I want to love you more than anything in this world. And now, I encourage you to press on with that commitment and to grow and to expand on it. There was a book on the back cover of a book that I recently read or that I recently picked up by a well-known mega preacher to women. And on the back cover, it said that if you follow her simple rules and principles, that you will be highly sought after, greatly esteemed, and looked up to. Now, that's what I call gospel Fruit Loops. That is a sugar-coated gospel that tastes good but makes us sick, that doesn't nourish our soul. You see, why is that a gospel Fruit Loop? Why is that spiritual junk food? Because it is exactly opposite of what the Master taught us. It's the opposite of what Jesus taught us. And I know that that shocks a lot of people who are listening right now. That shocks you because you've never heard anything like that before. What do you mean? I thought it was all about self-esteem. Well, it is all about self-esteem, but not the way you think. Because self-esteem really is just a great form of pride. But we'll get into that later. That's a whole other big topic. But suffice it for today to say that if you follow the Lord, you seek the Lord with all your heart, and you do everything right, if you think that you'll be highly esteemed by men, you are sadly mistaken. If you observe the things of God outwardly, and you are very busy for God, it's very likely you will be esteemed. But Jesus said, woe to you when all men speak well of you. Woe to you. Because it's very likely that your busyness has led you to a place where you're either cold to the things of God, or that you haven't even met the Lord yet. That you don't even know who he is yet. And that's why this outward observance is so meaningless. It doesn't bring about true life. And so, instead of having spiritual Fruit Loops, which taste so nice and they're very pleasant words and they make us feel so good, but then we go out of there and we have this unrealistic expectancy that things will be well and that people will look up to us and that we'll be esteemed and that it'll be so great because we're doing everything right. Oh, au contraire. Oh, no. When you start to do everything right, the world takes out its big guns and starts blasting at you in every direction, in every possible way imaginable. The things that happen when you start to do what is really right are almost indescribable. Because we follow a master who was crucified. We follow a master who was crucified. As it says over here, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher, and the slave as his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. And so we are seeking to follow after a master who was crucified. Therefore, as we follow in his footsteps, we are necessarily going to encounter great difficulty. But it is a path which has been trodden by all the great saints who have ever lived. Every great saint has walked on that path. And that path was cut by the master himself. And so you are walking in a good way if suddenly everyone hates you, and if suddenly everyone is speaking evil of you, and suddenly all this opposition is rising up against you. Be encouraged, you're walking in the right way. And this is what Jesus meant in verse 34, when he says the curious words, he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Now, obviously God doesn't want that contention, but he's saying that if you follow after him, the devil will cause those closest to you to begin to attack you in a very malicious way that will hurt you deeply. And so Jesus is giving us these good and strengthening words ahead of time to encourage us to press on. And he's giving us these nutrients and these vitamins for our soul that we will know that this is the price that we pay for following after a crucified master. This is the price. We consider it beforehand. We say, is the Lord worth it? Yes, he is definitely worth it. He's worth it all. And so I'm going to endure whatever I have to endure in order to follow after the Lord. And so we count the cost, we decide to pay it, and then Jesus just gives us his encouraging words and says, everybody who really loves me is going to be persecuted and opposed. So be of good cheer. And we go here to verse 38. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life shall lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake shall find it. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me. And so, we must take up our cross. And that's the missing element. That's the missing ingredient in all of our modern church and all of our great network of churches across the land. The one common binding element in them all is that there's no cross. There's a cross, Jesus' cross, yes, that's in all the churches. But this word of Jesus saying that we must take up our cross to follow him, that's the missing ingredient. And yet it's mandatory. The Lord has made it mandatory to follow after him that we must pick up our cross. And that means we must endure. We must press on in the midst of great difficulty. We must expect that the world is going to greatly oppose us, and that we'll be hated for no reason, that we'll be ostracized, that we'll be cast out, that we will be thought ill of and spoken horribly of. This is part of the price of following after the Master. But the Lord gave us these words so that we would not be downcast, but that we would lift up our heads and rejoice that our salvation draws near. He would have us to be as the disciples who, when they were beaten, rejoiced and leapt for joy that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the Lord. And so, for you, I want to encourage you to start leaping for joy if you are encountering all these various trials in your life right now. It's because the Lord has received you. Because you have been selected by the Lord for life. And so this is the time for you to leap for joy and to rejoice in Him. And that's why these words are so good and so encouraging. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are greatly in need of your strengthening, Lord, because we can hear these words and we're encouraged by them, Lord, but when we are in the nitty-gritty of the day and we're being attacked, it's very painful and it's very hard for us. And so we pray, O Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen us, that you would pour out your strengthening to our spirit, that we might not be downcast, but that rather we would have a spirit of joy to endure these various difficulties with all gladness, and that we might brighten your day, O Lord God, by rejoicing in our trials, because we know that you hate it when one of us suffers, when any of your little ones suffer. So I pray, Lord, that you pour out a spirit of strength, comforting upon each one, Lord, who is enduring right now, in Jesus' name. One final verse here in the same chapter says, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The Lord knows how many hairs that are on your head. And each one of those hairs is precious to Him. And you are precious to Him. You are precious to Him and a treasure. And if you have made that commitment to seek the Lord with all your heart, you are also set aside as His own special possession and as His bride. And so be encouraged by that and know that you are greatly loved by the Lord. And we will be praying for you. Please contact us if you have any specific prayer needs or any comments. Drop us an email at unashamedforchrist@aol.com. And just be in touch with us and we'll try to write back to you and we'll certainly pray for you. So thank you for joining us today. God bless you all.